Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Weekdays from 6.
Click Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Oh, good afternoon, Adelaide, and welcome to another edition, another massive week of sport entertainment here on the Rush Hour, 5:30 till 7. I'm A. Jarman, and I'm going to introduce my little comrade, Bernie Vince. Good afternoon to you, young Bern.
Thanks, Jars. You sound a bit like Dennis Cometti there, the way you called me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I go into a den?
Down like a cook in the ocean.
There's only one. Don't you? There's only one sorry, Dennis
sorry.
Committee.
Sorry, mate. No, right. Great day. Look at the weather out there. What a beautiful day.
Golf clap for the Redbacks. Had a great win. Greg Blewett's just text. And,
yeah, he reckons it's all because of him again. 109 runs, Jars. Frankie Worrell, 5 for 31, which is finished him off well because they good declaration, I reckon.
Absolutely. That's back to back wins, too. So, congratulations. Jerry Wright's gone from the 36ers program. We've been saying that for about a week and a half. He's outski. Gone. And took a few with him. His press conference, he did. Well, geez, drive-bys everywhere. we'll catch up with Ed Marinoff from the Adelaide Crows. Yeah. Had a nice win last night yesterday at Richmond.
Well, what? Good last 5 minutes.
Did you watch the whole game?
The whole game, yeah, I did.
But you had Harvey's first birthday.
How could you
do both?
Well, we had the screen on. I wasn't watching intensely, but I saw it.
Weren't you at a park or somewhere?
Yeah, there's a TV up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the biggest blow,
What's happened?
Shattering news.
Oh, yeah. Holden, no.
160 years
is a long time.
The history in this country. We've got a poll going too, haven't we, Sean Craig? Good afternoon to you, great man.
Thank you, mate. What's your favourite Holden of all time? Four options, and it was hard to narrow it down to four.
Sean.
Yeah, Kingswood is sitting on 16%. Monaro, 43%. Statesman, 11%. And Commodore, 30%. So Monaro's favourite Holden at the moment.
Where's the LJ Tirana?
Well, you were the one who actually...
Did you put that in? I told you to put the Tirana in. He goes, he didn't want the Tirana in.
But we're going to catch up with a South Australian V8 great, Russell the Enforcer Engel, and he won't hold back either.
Nah.
So just to get a bit of a feel on what his thoughts are, because Australia are mourning. It's a massive loss. General Motors have made the decision to pull out end of the year. Gone.
It affects a lot of people. The people's livelihoods. What about all the dealerships? Holding dealerships around the place. V8 supercars. What happens now, Jars? Who takes over?
Great question. We'll ask Russell.
Do they pull the pin on it? I don't know what happens. We're going to ask him.
Okay.
Oh, you're excited, aren't you?
I know.
KI this week, Jars. KI.
Oh,
three more sleeps.
You got stuck into Jars' stash of sugar, have you?
Yeah, he gave me a bit of fruit before. I don't know what was in it.
All right, that's coming up next. Rush Hour, Bernie and Charles on 104.7 Triple M.
Bern, massive news, bombshell.
Big bombshell news
around the country. Australian car lovers are reeling from the news that the iconic Holden brand will disappear from dealerships by the year's end. Massive news. And one man that's one of the V8 superstars, a great man, a great South Australian. And let's go and just talk to him about this bombshell news. Russell Engel joins us. G'day, Russell. Thanks for your time, mate.
Hey guys, speaking about a couple of icons from Adelaide, speaking to yourselves, see?
Oh, you're a good man.
Yes, sad news, isn't it? Sad news.
Are you surprised, Russell, or not surprised? Because you're in the industry.
Absolutely, no. This was coming all the time. The only one that's been caught with their pants down is supercars, but that doesn't surprise me. They're always a bit behind the game with this sort of stuff. But within the motor industry, no. Look, I've got a lot of friends that I've made over the years who are dealers. In Melbourne and Sydney, and we've been talking for the last 12 months. And look, there was rumours around that it might be rebadged as GM, and that was a chance because most of the cars that they can only bring in anyway would be GM. But it looks like it won't even be that. So the brand as a whole is gone, and mate, it's devastating because a lot of younger people won't get it because they haven't grown up around the Holden brand. But people like more mature, like ourselves, who their dads owned Holdens, and I own Holdens. You probably have at some stage. And man, it was probably more than just a brand and icon. It was a way of life. You know, really, and it's just going to leave a massive hole. Then, unfortunately, I won't say it's inevitable, but there was a lot of fault there in the way the company was run towards the end. And I'll tell you what, a few heads should roll because of it.
Where do you sort of touch on a little bit? Where do you think that leaves supercars now? It's just the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen now. What are your thoughts on that?
oh, well, they're behind the eight ball as it is because the car that they currently use, I mean, they grafted a Mustang body on it, but it's still not an attractive looking thing. They've had to, you know, put height into it, lengthen it, narrow it, and cut and shut it to try and get the thing on. Doesn't really look like a Mustang, to be honest, but, and they're going to have the same problem in replacing it. But again, you think back a little bit, they ran the Falcon for a couple of years after that model was deleted as well. Before they found a replacement for it. And they'll end up doing the same here. And the problem is you can't do that. You've got to stay current. You know, you've got to be ahead of the game. And we all knew this was coming in within the industry behind the scenes and the people in the know, they would have known it's coming. So really, this should have been starting to plan out 12 months beforehand. But again, you know, what would I know? I've only been around the sport all my life. So there you go.
Little drive by.
Russell, why is, just for the layman motorsport person, why is General Motors pulling the pin on the Aussie market? Just to explain that to us, please.
Mate, it's simple. It's numbers, you know. And the problem is the motor industry at the moment is a tough gig because not only selling cars, but you got the EV, electric vehicle evolution, coming at us. And that's coming at us hard. And I find it a bit difficult because I'm a petrolhead, and that's the way I grew up. But the fact of the matter is it's coming. The whole motor industry has changed. And the thing is, as well, people are very price conscious as well. And look, you know, the Koreans are at us too. The Korean-made cars, you know, you would never give it a second thought.
Yeah.
They actually don't build a bad product. Things aren't that bad with Hyundai and Kia. Yeah. They're actually not a bad car. They're quite good. They've got some killer ones coming out. And they're right on price point. So it's a battle. It's a battle, to be quite honest. There's too many brands.
Yeah.
There's too many brands, too many models.
Too many players.
You know, I don't think this is going to be the last. You know, Jeep's struggling at the moment. They're really struggling as a brand. You know, there's, I mean, you look at Aston Martin's only just been bought out in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. They're about to go under. An iconic brand, a British brand like Aston Martin were just about to go under. And you can just keep reeling them off. So it's a tough industry. I don't think it's going to be the last. And the problem is it's about numbers and we don't sell enough in Australia for now we're just an importer. They look at us and go, how many we're selling a year? No, that's not enough. Put a texter through it. And that's a factor, you know, and that's just population and all the rest of it. But, it's a huge shame. But I'll tell you what, you know, the thing that annoys me about the whole lot is the VF Commodore, the last Commodore they built, and you're probably the same. You go interstate or you go somewhere, grab a high car, you might jag one. There's a few still in fleets. And you drive it and you think, what a bloody good car. You know, it's actually a good car to drive. And the platform of that car could have quite easily been made into an SUV, which everything's SUV now. You could have transformed that car, but I just think they got caught with their pants down a little bit and didn't predict the market. Yeah. And it's just a real shame that the manufacturing industry in general, I still reckon they could have saved it. Now, I don't know. I might be wrong, and I'm no financial genius, but I don't know. I still reckon they could have saved it. You know, if they predicted the industry a bit better, predicted forecast a little bit better, and if the government got behind them a little bit more, I know they were anyway, and the government gets smashed up for everything that happens to government, so I don't like really doing it, but... You know, geez, I wish we were still not a factory of this country. We've still got a lot of smart people, a lot of smart engineers, you know, a lot of able workmen that could have still produced a bloody good car, you know.
Yeah,
disappointing.
Yeah. Russell, thanks for your time, mate. Much loved here in South Australia, the Enforcer. And look, it's a sad day for motor racing fans around the country. So we'll speak again, mate.
I hope so. Cheers, guys.
There he is, the great Russell Engel, and spot on. Love his honesty, but
passionate, isn't he?
They could see it coming, but couldn't do anything about it.
Well, surely they saw it coming. They should have done something
a bit more.
Not just, you can't just put the white flag up, Jazz.
160 years, 160 year history, all over
today.
By the end of the year. Correct. The iconic brand Gonski after 160 years.
Did you have a Holden?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a Holden HQ.
Three cars were Holden.
Yeah, I had a fourth speed on the floor.
On the floor?
Yeah, I loved it.
I haven't heard that
before.
No,
I did. The old stick.
Yeah, you're still talking about
cream
driving?
One. I had a
you're
cream
talking
one.
About
yeah, but
four on the floor?
I busted. Boom, we played cricket on the weekend.
Yes.
How did you go up there at Stansbury?
Good. We lost the toss and we bowled first and we bowled them out for 90-odd. So we bowled them out pretty quickly.
Who'd you play again?
We played Honiton. Which is Edith.
Weren't you scared of a left arm fast bowler for them? Didn't you send Blewett a text message on Saturday morning with DSL? You panicked?
No, I said, what would you do? Because, you know, he's teaching us, taught us that new batting style. Yeah, so what about if a guy comes around the wicket or a left armer? Do you square up or do you keep square to the umpire? He goes, no, you just face where it's coming from. But he blew that up, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Pardon the pun.
And he's going to invoice us too.
Yeah, 150 an hour. I heard that.
How'd you go?
I opened the bowling, actually. Got a couple of wickets.
Lovely.
A couple of early wickets. Yeah, and then bowled a bit short to start with.
Did
I was trying to bowl a bit fast, I think.
Nah.
They were coming. I hadn't bowled for a while, so got it. And then made 13 not out, mate. Come in at the end and just steered us home.
So you beat the top side?
No. They weren't top. No. We got the top side this week.
So who's the top side?
Middleton. Middleton. I went to school there.
Right, buddy.
Bigger town over there. What about you, mate? How'd you go? Big action packed your game.
Yeah, the Peninsula Pirates. We played the Eyre Royals Cricket Club and
they're top side.
Yeah, they're top side and some characters in there. Don't worry about that.
Wow. Sledging.
Well, the president of the association plays.
Oh, right.
Mate,
the boss.
He looks like he's a similar size to Big Grenville Dietrich. And open bats and no gloves.
Oh, no gloves.
Nah, he's the old school.
Character.
Oh, old school.
Oh,
but anyway.
You hit on the finger. Oh.
He don't, no, well, that's what, if you get in on the finger, you might as well give it away. But they were terrific. It was a ripping game of cricket. The scores were all wrong.
Yeah.
So we thought we won by 11 runs, but we only won by 3 because one of our young players did the scorebook and he stuffed that up. Had no idea what was going on.
It's not a strength, is it, scorebooks in
not
those
at
sort
all.
Of levels?
Not at all. But it was action-packed all day down at Jubilee Park.
Yeah, I heard there was a few wounded soldiers after. You won casualties?
Well, I was after drinks, did a hamstring, running between wickets. Pop.
He's done a heavy.
Pop. Yep, didn't need a runner, though.
So he took no further part?
No, I gussed it out. And then I got caught behind.
Caught behind.
Keeper finally took a catch for them. and then our captain, Big Spud.
Hang on. How many did you make?
I'll tell you at the end. Our captain, Big Spud. He was batting, popped his calf.
He went
down. So we were down two men for fielding because we batted first.
Yeah.
And then one of our blokes who batted, number four, rocked up late. Looked like one of the, looked like Cheech and Chong. he's rocked up because, as you know, on carpet, you got to get the chalk out.
Yeah.
Well, he's put out four bars of chalk to mark his leg stump and middle stump. It took him about 4 minutes to get his,
And how long did he last?
No, well, A, Roughneck. Who thinks he's Peter Siddle for them, rougher, he bowled him first ball, plum, LB. So Big Spud, the captain, gave him out. I said to Spud, that's out, fire him out. That was our bloke.
Yeah, well, he should for being late anyway.
Well, old Cheech and Chong grabbed his gear, grabbed his deck chair and done a runner. Drove off in the car park.
He didn't come back?
I beg your pardon?
He came back.
He didn't come back.
Oh, he didn't see him the rest of the day?
So we're down to nine men.
You're down to eight.
So Ben Jarman.
Oh, Ben Jarman.
Yeah,
so three Jarmans played.
Yeah, three Jarmans because my brother played his first game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another situation.
I heard he took a hanger, though.
He took one of the best catches you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And not surprising. But anyway, let's just talk about this. He bowled. He bowls like Warnie. He calls himself Shane Keith Darren Jarman Warne. So as he's come in the bowl, he got dropped. He hit the stump. The bowl lit up. But didn't fall off.
Oh, you got the zing bales.
So he got the zing bales. Mate, we don't mess around down there.
Jeez, professional.
So there's his first wicket he missed out on. And then he got dropped three times. Our bloke's dropped three catches off his bowling.
What did he say?
Oh, he blew up. He blew up. Like he lied on the ground. He rolled. He says, I'm out of guts on this bloody game. That it gets stuffed. Everyone drops catches off me.
I heard he said, am I the only bloody bastard that can take a catch?
So, Bert, he was having a hissy fit on the floor. Auntie Susie was there for the first time ever. She got bitten by ants on the log. Marin rocked up with the guide dogs. They took off. We had to go and find them. And it was all action-packed. And then what DJ didn't tell me was his last ever game for the Fulham Cricket Club, he had six catches dropped off his bowling.
Oh.
Total nine catches in two games of cricket.
What a day.
But we won by 3 runs.
Well, 8 or 3. Or...
We'll get, nah, 3 runs.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we knocked off the Eyre Royal Cricket Club. Thank you very much. Lovely fellas.
Top first bottom, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a line.
I don't want to say
well
too
done.
Much more than that. But anyway.
And so how many did you make?
Let's just say I made 38.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Let's just say.
And
you made 38? Or
and,
we just
look, let's
that.
Just say on one leg, 3 for 17. Nice to have you back for the 6 o'clock hour here till 7 p.m. tonight. It's a beautiful Monday. I welcome Bernie Vince. G'day, Bern. And just quickly, your weekend, productive?
Thanks, Jars. Yeah, played cricket on Saturday, we just touched on. Yeah, and then Harvey's little Harvey's first birthday. We're going to touch on that in a little bit.
That's going to be very
good. The AFL met today, Jars.
Yeah.
Officially confirmed the 2020 grand final will remain at the 2:30 time slot, which I believe support. Where it should be. That's right. Yes,
You don't want a 4:35 o'clock AFL grand final.
Nah, I love it where it is.
Okay, don't want a twilight grand final. Nah, do you think one day they might dabble?
Well, they're going to dabble because of the TV, because of the NFL that works, the halftime thing, the nights. But I like.
Yeah,
it where
I'm with you.
The whole setup of the day, then you can have an after thing. Like
lovely
in the night, it gets a bit late. But and the Redbacks won. Does. First win at home in 3 years, can you believe? That's not a great record.
Nah, terrible.
But we're turning things around, as Greg Blewett told us on the weekend. So we're into fourth position, beating WA, who were in third position. So big win for the boys. Well done.
What did we win by?
109 runs.
Picks up, hold him. That's it. That's the game. Worrell's got 5 for 31. It's a victory to the Redbacks.
Sound like a jockey, that call.
Frankie Worrell.
Weren't you meant to bring that in?
Yeah, I was. I just thought I'd do it myself. 5 wickets, 5 for 31 the second innings. They won by 109 runs. So well done. And they'll be having a few West End draft cans probably.
Obviously, massive news. General Motors will shut down Holden's here in Australia after 160-year association by the end of the year. Massive blow, bombshell. But one man that's been all over it, South Australian great V8, Russell Ingall, said this earlier on the show.
You could have transformed that car, but I just think they got caught with their pants down a little bit and didn't predict the market. Yeah. And it's just a real shame that the manufacturing industry in general, I still reckon they could have saved it.
Oh, could have saved it.
That's massive. That's
caught with their pants down, he described it.
That chat is really good. It's going to be on the podcast, the Rush Hour podcast, which will come out about 7:05 if you're a fan. Mm. Oh.
Anyway, enjoy every minute what's left of the Holdens. And we've got a poll going too, haven't you, Sean Craig Murphy?
Certainly have.
What's your favourite Holden of all time?
The Tirana, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Throw me under the bus again.
What do you got?
So at the moment, four options. Tirana was not one of them. Kingswood sitting on 16%, Monaro 43%, Statesman 11%, and Commodore 30%.
Monaro's the one.
The Monaro.
Yeah, I love the Monaro.
I love it.
$100 tomorrow morning. No, $300 tomorrow morning is the jackpot. We're talking about the name game. All you need is a name to win. Tomorrow morning with Ruindits for breakfast at 7 o'clock. We have a clue, though, to get you closer. And that clue is...
Okay, regular host on that project on Channel 10. He's just a regular host. Hey. Could be anyone.
You said a he.
No,
you gave a bit of that away.
I was going to say Pete Hellier, but... It could be Arnie Carey.
Carey, yeah. Who but else?
Anyway,
what about Waleed?
Don't think anyone else is called Waleed, is there?
Imagine that, though.
Listen to the boys in the morning, and you could get 300 smackaroos.
Yes, yeah, so if your name's Pete, Carey, or Waleed, you've got a great chance. Or if you know someone who's got that name, tell them to listen to Ruined It's tomorrow, 7 o'clock on Triple M.
Turn it up, please.
Eb Marinoff from the AFLW Crows team is coming up in the next 20-25 minutes on the Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars on Triple M.
Sam Walsh, Jars, has been voted into the Carlton's leadership group in his second year. Mm-hmm. You don't see that too often. Played all 22 games last year, won the Rising Star. Is a Bowl Report's a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say more about his leadership or where the leadership at Carlton is?
I think it says a lot more about the quality of the individual that will one day will be the club captain of the Carlton Football Club.
Yep.
Mate, he leads by his actions, not by his birth certificate, and I love that. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Isn't it? Is that fair?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't care if he's played 30 games. His training standards, as we know and you know, elite.
Elite.
His attitude, his quality, elite. He sets high standards off the field. And, mate, the AFL love this lad because they'll market him after Dusty Martin's retired.
Mm.
He's going to be the face.
The next big...
Absolutely.
Wow, Dusty Martin.
Yeah, when he hands his boots in, this is the next face of the AFL football because he's squeaky clean. Mm. He's a beautiful young man to watch. He's got everything there, ticks all the boxes for me, and, mate, no problems at all. And well done to the Carlton Football Club for identifying that.
Yep.
No, what do you think?
I like it. Nathan Van Berlo was in the leadership group at Adelaide in his third year, which I thought was pretty young to be in it, and especially when you look at the leaders that were in there. So we're talking Mark Rusciuto, Simon Goodwin, Tyson Edwards, Andrew McLeod, and Nathan Van Berlo. at the time. So there was five.
And look how they all turned out.
Yep. And well, he was a future captain of the footy club. So in exactly the same scenario as what VB was coming through. And we were sort of at the top of our game in those years. But so it was,
The only thing I will query, it's a seven-man leadership.
Yeah, too many. Again, too many.
Why? Why do they go over the top?
Five max.
Totally. For me, three. You're saying five. I'm happy with that. But you don't need seven.
No, too many. Like Carlton, just do the basics right.
Five. So Liam Jones, he comes in.
Yep.
He's been fantastic for them, hasn't he, since he's been to the football club. Mark Murphy, obviously, his quality is ageing, but his best football still.
Yeah,
still
played some good footy last year, Mark Murphy.
Ed Curno.
Seems to be injured a bit.
And Jacob Wiedering.
Yep.
So they're the additions. Mm. All right.
Like it. Mm. I like it, mate. I don't think they've taken a risk by putting him in because he's only in his second year, but I like it.
Do you think, here's a question, do you think now in that leadership group that could add a little bit more pressure to his performance?
No. I think he thrives under that sort of pressure.
So do I.
And he, from all reports, they were trying to, they spoke to him about resting it a few times when he was, they thought he was getting tired. No. He just went, I'm going to lead this footy club. And you know what I love the best about him? A guy in his first year coming to football club, he challenged older players. So he'd challenge him on training off the field. Yeah. So, yeah, as you said, Reek's leadership and he's going to be captain of that footy club one day.
Here's young Sam talking about improvements in his game. And
I think for me at the start, it was definitely come into the club, earn the respect of the boys and work hard, and from there you can lead by example. And I've been able to gain a fair bit of knowledge on the game from older players and learning a lot of things in the past year. So now I'm starting to be a bit more vocal with things I see. I like following the game. So if I feel like something needs to be said, I'll say it. But generally I like to lead by example.
Who do you say he sounded like? He sounds like a Carlton
captain. Stephen Kiernan.
Yeah, he sounds like Sticks, doesn't he?
He's got a deep voice.
Can't wait to see how he performs in his second year, because as you know, the second year's your hardest when you've just come onto the scene, and he'll get a little bit more attention.
Yeah, he will. He'll get run with a bit.
Yeah.
He'll get run with at times. So
part of his game needs work.
Obviously, Cripps is the number one man that teams go to.
But you can't shut him down.
You can't really shut him down the way he plays the inside ball. So they'll look to shut down the next guy, and that's him. No. So there's, as you said, it's going to be a testing year for him. Well, but he, if anyone's up to it, he is.
Were you in a leadership group?
Yeah, at Melbourne I was.
But not at Adelaide Crows? That's right, because you dropped your duds at a cricket ground.
Like Russell Ingall said, caught with your pants down.
Your son Harvey could be in the Carlton leadership group. He's almost old enough, isn't he?
Well, he's got his first year out of the way.
Harvey had his first birthday party on the weekend. We're going to chat about that with Bernie next on the Rush Hour. Bernie and Jars. Triple M. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars.
Thank you, Icon. Before we talk about Harvey's first birthday yesterday, Nathan Van Berlo's just texted you about leadership at the Adelaide Crows.
I told you this off air. Okay, I'll read it out on
here. Just read it out, please.
I wanted to confirm whether it's in his second or third year that he went in the leadership group.
What happened?
He said third from memory, about the same as you, having a bit of a pot at me, knowing that I obviously wasn't.
Oh, dear.
I said, yeah, very similar. And he wrote, mine was on and off the field. Your selection was purely off field. I said, well, someone had to be out in the town to see who else was out.
Yeah.
You know, so put someone out with the people.
Yeah.
So what was your curfew? I won that. I was like, he won't text back now. He goes, absolutely. First out, last home was your motto.
He
got me.
Be Vince's motto. And what was your motto yesterday at the birthday party, mate?
Oh, it was good, actually. We had a little gathering down at West Beach Resort. Beautiful weather.
How many did you get invited?
It was basically just family, about 25, 30, maybe.
Because we had a massive phoner last week with the Triple M family.
Because I did. We themed it as well.
And what was it?
It was a touch of farm. So all the kids, it was very cute. Kids had the flannelette shirts and the cowboy hats and the boots. And it was very good. Some went a bit more effort than others.
Okay.
Others just rolled in, like Tex, just rolled in.
He didn't dress up at all.
No.
Honestly.
Didn't bring anything.
Own rule book to birthday parties.
Yeah, he was trying to
blame. Did he bring any beer? Did he bring any food? Did he bring a salad, a bowl of salad?
This is a great question. Because I bought a fair few beers and put them in the esky, set them up, because I was there early.
So it was an adult's birthday party.
Adults, yeah.
Not a kiddie.
Well, I asked the family, they said, make it about you, so I did. And people just kept going to my esky and drinking my beer. I'm thinking, well, yeah, they can have a few to start with. All day. I had to send Mossy down to get more. I had to send him down to get more, two more cartons to put back in. And I'm thinking, No one else is bringing any beer here. I'm going to have to say something.
So no one rocked up with any beverages. That's
a
disgrace.
A few did.
So what was on the invitation?
All the good blokes did. All the better blokes. Tex, no. Frio, no.
What about your dad?
He actually bought a six-pack but drank about a carton. So he can technically say he brought some. But I didn't know down the bottom of the – I haven't seen the invite. I didn't
see
it. So Abs
did the invite.
Did the invite. She wrote down there – some drinks provided.
Oh, what does that mean? No, you've got to tell us.
The family didn't say to do that. Yeah. I'm going to turn it up. I might do the beef.
No.
I might do the beef.
Easy.
Tell me when you're putting these things on, because I'm having a crack at everyone. And then they go, well, read your invite.
That's
I said, I don't need an invite.
That's disappointing. Mm. If you're going to come to an official function, please bring something out of respect.
Well, listen here, Tex. If you read the invite saying... Oh. That some drinks are provided. What are you... Bloody read where it's farm and dress up.
500.
Yeah, a lot of love for the Super Loop Adelaide 500 this weekend. Charles, I'm going to test you on this, see how much you know, okay?
Go.
All right. How many days of racing?
We've got 4 days of pure racing.
Okay. How many nights of concerts?
Well, we've got 3 nights of some wonderful concerts.
And which night is Triple M sponsoring? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We're doing the Friday night.
Nice.
Oh,
he's good. Yeah,
Friday night, family, as loud as you like it. That's the slogan here. Get around us, family. And they got some first to experience this new trackside facility, which will be fully catered in the bistro-style seating with sensational race views, and then the after race club. Get around it.
You just read that bit, didn't
you?
No,
I didn't.
See,
I've ad-libbed all this.
No, you have not.
Tickets are still available, $45, right? That's and good. You can get a family, get some friends to go together.
Let's go. Where are we going?
Well, I thought I was in a corporate box with the Premier.
Yeah, if you want more information about that, Superloop Adelaide 500. So it's superloopadl500.com.au. Nice work.
It's blowing up. Between Bernie Vince and Tex Walker after your very aggressive whack on Tex not bringing any beers to the first birthday yesterday. Yeah. He wants to write a reply.
Yeah, he does. He wants to write a reply. Might get
Has he whacked
line.
You on text?
Oh, he's whacked me. Whacked me.
Do you want to get him on?
Yeah, let's get him on. We'll go to a song.
We'll get the former club captain on. Former club captain on.
Yeah,
next.
Good call.
Next on the Rush Hour. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie and Charles, Bernie Vince, Andrew Jarman here at 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, it's getting ugly in the studio, family. Now, we just spoke about Bernie Vince's first birthday with little Harvey's beautiful little son. They were down at West Beach, Resort,
yep,
which
just
was fantastic.
The
you had a theme,
yep,
which themed. Was wonderful. You got all the alcohol. Ab sent out an invitation to some family and friends.
Yep.
Then you've just given Tex a bit of a tirade on air that he rocked up with...
Nothing.
Right. And then, and did he dress up for the theme?
No.
Oh.
No, didn't do anything.
Well, he has responded
he's
a bit like Donald Trump. He has not stopped.
Geez, I'll tell you what, he's going back to few
years
ago.
We need to get him on. Let's get him on, Sean, for a write a reply.
Can I just say that I don't back this. I was going live with text.
Let's just go live with the text.
Okay, so.
All right, where is he? Get the dump button ready.
All right, here we go. Here we go. The great man, Texan.
No good.
Hello? Oh. Hello? Tex?
Who's this?
It's the Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars, number one sports show in town.
What, self-proclaimed or?
It's been voted, mate.
Now, we're live. Now, what's happened? You've upset him. He's upset you, has he?
It was good that I swore when I answered the phone then.
Yeah, no, we beat that
Luckily. Oh,
that's good.
So what happened yesterday?
What do you mean?
So, what part of the not swearing when you answered didn't you get then?
Yeah,
it was a bit like yesterday. We, as godparents, Ellie and I are lucky enough to be Harvey's godparents.
Nice.
You'd think you'd get an invite, you know? I don't know, a week out from his birthday, talking about christening him.
Yeah.
What are we actually doing? What's the dress code?
Yeah.
Guess when we got the invite, Jars?
When, buddy?
The bloody morning of it.
Oh, Bern, you can't do that.
And then the bugger, he's pointing his finger at his wife, saying it's all her fault. Well, I said, there's 200 relationships, so it's 50% of your fault. And I didn't even get the invite from Bernie. I got it through one of our mutual mates.
I still haven't seen it.
You've shafted it.
So there's any wonder I don't take any beer down to his
first
birthday party.
Oh, are you now?
Yeah, you can't do that to the godparents.
Oh, I thought it was sent out weeks ago. Abby told me it was.
Yeah.
No one
and
got
I
it.
I thought
mate.
I won the lotto when I bought a lotto ticket. That didn't happen either.
Did you bring any beer and did you dress up?
Did I dress up? I didn't have any farm things. I wore a flannelette shirt, wore a flat bag, wore some cool kicks.
Some what?
Some rips in me shorts. I look half like a farmer.
What?
Honestly,
I'm with you. You got to apologise to Tex Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can't whack him like that.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
not on the morning of a birthday.
And
yes,
the beer was warm.
Oh!
$3 for a bag of ice. You couldn't even buy one. You tight ass.
Well, you didn't seem to be bothering you when you're putting them down your neck for free.
I've got a question.
Yes, mate.
Have you ever heard a truck reverse?
Thanks, buddy. Take care, right, mate. And I'll get that roast organised too for you, buddy.
Oh, he's not happy with you either. You came up yesterday. No, don't you know that joke? Have you ever heard a truck reverse? Beep, beep, beep. He just did that and you're still talking to him. Well, Jars, it's time now for, well, the Crows are on the board. They had a big win yesterday, a late big win, and one of the stars of yesterday's game joins us now, and that's Eb Marinoff. Welcome to the show.
Howdy, boys.
You must be pretty happy with that. You're down basically the whole game, and it come to the last 5 minutes. What happened? You just turned it on for 5 minutes and got the chocolates.
Yeah, exactly right. Nah, like in all fairness, I guess a couple of our senior girls just stood up and knew we had to get the job done, because in the season of AFLW, if you're 0-2 heading into round 3, that is not what you would have been, nowhere.
Yeah, coming from a fair way back if you lose the first two. Now, run us through that last 5 minutes. There was a bit of everything. There was a stretcher. They were followed up by 2 goals in 2 minutes, and then you finish with a goal after the siren. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, nah, we just had momentum. I think, you know, that when that stretcher came out, we were able to then, again, address what we needed to do to get the win. So that kind of, I guess, helped us in that scenario. But, yeah, she went down pretty hard. I think she's got a severe concussion, so that's not good. But, yeah, we just regrouped and knew we had to bring the contest for the last 5 minutes and literally just get goals on the board.
Must be happy with your own form. 26 disposals, best on ground performance yesterday. Must be happy with your form.
Oh, well, not really, because we had 3 shit quarters. But nah, I just got to keep performing. But in saying that, I need to be able to bring the girls up with me, especially with the young talent we've got. We've got to bring them into the game because, yeah, we're still missing a fair few with injuries. So if we can bring the younger girls up to speed with us, that will be better going forward.
Focus. What's been the young ones bring a nice energy, but what's been the focus from senior coach Matthew Clark? What's the key message for you girls at the minute?
The key message probably for us last year, we were probably the hardest team offensively to play against, and I guess losing star power in the forward line hasn't helped. But we just need to bring pressure. A lot of these teams that don't have heaps of talent, they kind of just bring a real contested style of footy and bring the pressure to us.
Yep.
That's usually what we want to do. So especially at halftime yesterday, Doc really enforced that we need to, you know, press the game, tackle. We weren't really sticking as many tackles as we would have liked. They were up tackle count, contested possession. So we really need to get our contested side up to speed.
If you had some magic dust, and you sort of touched on it then, some magic dust you could sprinkle over your team right now, what would you change or what would you fix?
Oh, great question. Probably forward line pressure. I don't think we had a tackle in the first half in our forward half, and you both would know how important forward, you know, inside 50 tackles are, because that means the ball's staying in there, not just rebounding out. So probably just our pressure along the ground as well, all around the ground, sorry, because that's not at the level it needs to be, and our cleanness. Is that the word?
Cleanness. I'll accept that.
Yeah.
I'll accept that. Jars uses a lot of loose terms in here. Yeah. He gets away with it all the time.
I've got Burns Dictionary.
Just want to get your thoughts or what you thought of Stacey Livingston's take on saying about Taylor Harris and saying if you take control of her in the air, she's useless after that. Do you like the honesty?
Oh, I think I like honesty. I'm quite an honest person. Some people say too honest sometimes, but I definitely think there's a right way to say it, there's right wording, and I think Stacey Livingston at the end of the day had a really good game and just came out with a lot of emotion. she's feeling good about herself and she's just said it. Yeah. I'm all well and good about honesty, but the thing about Taylor Harris is she actually, you know, she's a star player. She can change the game. She's, yep. I'm not going to say she's consistent, but she's one of those players that if she's up and about, she'll get her team up and about. So she can impact the game. She's definitely not useless, you know, just in the air. But, yeah, I wouldn't be going saying it. Like, yep. I feel like a lot of people loving the honesty, but there's definitely a way to say it and
respectful honesty.
I love Taylor Harris's response to those comments from Livingston. A lion never loses sleep over the opinion of sheep.
Imagine if they play. They're in the same conference, so potentially could cross paths.
Nice.
In finals, and I wouldn't be wanting to mess with Taylor Harris when she's off and about. Because,
That could be on.
And look, that's not Stacey Livingston's problem, because that comes from your senior coach and team meeting and from your peers and the assistant coaches. That's the information that's given back to, as you know, Bern and Ebbs, you have your line meetings with your coaches. That's the information that's given to you as a player.
Yep.
Shut her down. She's only strong in the air. Shut that down. You can get on top of her. And that's what Livingston did. She did a great job. She's not a superstar of the competition. No way, Taylor Harris. She's got a long way to go yet before she's right up there
with Phillips and Randall. Like
Ebbs
said.
I haven't seen her tear a game apart.
Yeah, she has.
Okay.
A couple. But I will say Chelsea Randall, I love the matchup because Chelsea Randall and Taylor Harris openly says that she hates playing Chelsea Randall.
Never admit that.
And you've got to play against the best players if you want to be one of the greats. Anyway, great performance by the girls. Good confidence and momentum going into next week. So well done. Good leadership. Keep stepping it up. And thanks for your time, Ebbs.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks,
Ebb Marinoff there from the Adelaide Crows AFLW. Had a good win down at Richmond Oval yesterday in front of a good crowd.
Yeah, good crowd.
Beautiful day for football, Ben.
Yeah, unflag the flag.
Unfurl the flag.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, my God. And he's clipped me about the English language. Been a very busy show so far, Ben. And obviously the massive news coming around our country is that Holden's General Motors are going to shut down Holden's. 160 years we've been together. And produce some wonderful vehicles. The Holden fans are in mourning as we speak, but we caught up with V8 great South Australian Russell Lingle early in the show, and he had these explosive claims about Holden's being saved.
You could have transformed that car, but I just think they got caught with their pants down a little bit and didn't predict the market. Yeah. And it's just a real shame that the manufacturing industry in general, I still reckon they could have saved it.
Could have saved it.
And our Prime Minister, Mr. Scott Morrison's come out and whacked General Motors in America. We gave you $2
billion. $2
billion? In handouts save Holden's.
And what have they done with the $2 billion? Just whacked it in the pocket.
He's filthy, our Prime Minister.
Yeah. Wow.
Very angry.
No, that's interesting, isn't it, coming from Russell Ingall, about they could have saved it. Just
very
poor decisions from the time.
We're all brought up on Holden's.
All had Holden's, yeah.
Some great stories, anyway.
Have you been following the Melbourne documentary series?
Not at all, no.
It's called To Hell and Back. Uh-huh. Interesting. I wouldn't have called it that, personally, because I don't think
so
they're
what's
back
it about?
From hell yet. But it's a documentary series on their past 12 months. So,
which was horrendous.
All stuff about training, bringing players into the club, coaching changes.
Are you involved? Because you're
an
assistant. You were part-time.
No, I'm not now.
So you weren't involved. You're not involved in this doco.
You said this world's only big enough, what did you say, for one?
I didn't say anything.
Or something like that.
So what's it? What should we watch it?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's a seven-part series.
Okay.
And they go for about 8 minutes. So the first one was all about Nathan Jones and his feeling of giving the captaincy up and his feelings about his career, really.
Yep.
This one was... the one coming up is about Harley Bennell. So they gave a little, Harley Bennell, the about a 2 minute spill or a little intro on what it's going to be. I don't think they've released the whole one yet, but it was about him coming to the club. So we got a little grab on the little meeting. Yeah, there's some big names in the room. The coach, Josh Marnie, the footy manager, the recruiters. So he would have been under a bit of pressure with his background, but this is what Goody had to say to him as part of that.
So from my end, we're sitting here today. I don't really care about what's happened in the past. What I need to know is that you're going to try and do everything you can so it doesn't happen in the future. You know, people make mistakes all the time. They get to a point in life where they say, I'm going to make some genuine change and I'm going to try and make a career out of something.
Yep.
I guess that's why we're sitting here today. Because if you walk into our environment, you'll get all the support. Mm-hmm. You'll get all the love. You'll get all the environment that will help make the thrive that you've got to walk with us.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's, as long as you're honest with us and that.
Yep.
And I think we'll see, you know, there's lots of guys make mistakes.
Yep.
But what you feel about them moving forward.
Yep.
Interesting. Gives a general punter an inside view of what happens at footy clubs, Jars, and I think there should be more of it.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that's a really interesting one. And they said to him at the start, we're going to ask you some tough questions here as part of this. And one of them was, what would you think if we said no drinking while you're training with us? And he's no drinking and he hasn't touched a drink since his time at Melbourne.
When was the last game he played footy?
Good question. 2017 or something.
Look, just my opinion. And gut feel is it's a mistake.
You've been strong on that
for
since
2 years. And
the news,
and I wish him well. But play in the state league for 12 months to get your body ready for the rigors of AFL football.
Yep. I know why they've done it.
But clubs take these risks and they've got to back it in.
Yep.
So we wish him well.
I think it's a risk worth taking. But getting back to the doco, you like that? Do you reckon all clubs should do that?
Oh, absolutely.
I reckon it's great.
Fans love it.
Brilliant.
They love it.
Brilliant.
It's nice to get inside of a football club, and they're doing more and more of it because they want to try and get more membership and sponsorship on board because that's where it is these days.
Nah, brilliant. So, Stacey Livingston.
Right. This was the game between Carlton and Collingwood.
Yep. We've got a little grab.
It flared up.
Well, she stood Taylor Harris and obviously.
And beat her.
Well,
and Taylor Harris is a very popular figure.
And as you mentioned, the Lions coaches would have said this exact information
Lion
to
coaches,
her about being in she's no good once you beat her in the air, she's no good on ground
she
level.
Struggles.
So that, basically, she covered that, and this is what she said after the game into her interview.
This is year four, so I'd like to think that I know how to play on her already. But you just got to stop her in the air. That's her game, and if you can do that, she's useless.
Useless. That's a whack. Now, I know you like
I love
the honesty.
That kind of banter.
You love the
rawness
of that.
I want the boys to do more of it.
Rawness and honesty. But I just feel that was just a little bit disrespectful, the words she used. I love the honesty.
So you don't like her saying useless?
No, I don't like the useless
word.
Well, what do you want her to say? Well, that's like me saying, I stood you, and if I beat you, go, he's useless.
Yeah, but you know what?
That's
I take that on board. Well, I work
it's
harder
disrespectful,
at
just.
No, it's not.
No, you've got to be respectful as a player.
Not at all.
You do. I love the honesty. So she should have said, once you beat her in the air, she's no good. But that's a lot more respectful.
What, no good and useless?
Useless is a very harsh word.
No.
I think that's just disrespectful. She said, once you beat her in the air, she's no good.
But what do you want her to say?
I'm not saying the same thing, but useless is
so you're saying she's disrespectful?
By using
Stacey
useless.
Stacey Livingston has been disrespectful to Taylor Harris.
Yes.
Totally disagree with that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, we disagree.
It's a tough competition. It's becoming a tough competition amongst the girls. Mm-hmm. Good on her.
Yeah, I love.
And you know what? Taylor Harris might get her back when they play each other next time. Be a bit of spite.
Yeah.
But Taylor Harris has to stand up if she's the face of AFL football. Mm.
Well, she is. She is.
Only because Erin Phillips and Chelsea Randall are out injured.
That's another whole nother argument.
But I disagree. I think good on her.
I'm saying it's a good thing.
Yeah,
she's just
chose your words a little bit more carefully.
You
beat her, she's a dud.
She basically did by saying she's useless.
No, she's not.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, but that's not the same as being called a dud.
Let's put the gloves on. I've had enough. Get up. Stand up.
A bit more disrespectful than being called useless.
That was the rush
hour.
What
do you think, Murph?
I actually agree with you. I reckon it would just. I love the honesty. I love the honesty, and I really think it's good to have media performers who are honest, but I kind of think it was just borderline disrespectful.
You know what? I'm working with two duds here.
Nah! You're useless.
So are we.